This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you all for joining. Today is the 11th meeting of our SOAC Accountability Workstream 2 activities, and we have a reasonably busy agenda today, so I would ask everyone to take a small look at the suggested timings that we have on each of our items. It will be a primarily administrative as opposed to deliberative set of discussions today. So today is one where we've got a number of how to go forward decisions to make, and so if we can keep our interventions as short as practical and try and limit to one intervention per person unless there is a particularly urgent need for a right reply. With that, I'm going to do the usual call administration and ask that when you speak, you identify yourselves for the record and you speak as clearly and as slowly as possible, that you check your audio, and if we have audio issues, staff will be able to assist you and even do a dial out to you if that is going to give a more stable line. I would also ask if anybody has any updates to their statements of interest to be made at this time. Not hearing anybody or seeing anyone in the Adobe Connect room raising their hands, I will just note for the record that since our last meeting, I will be updating my statement of interest to reflect the fact that the At-Large Advisory Committee has given me the honour of appointing me as their liaison to the GNSO Council. So my statements of interest for both the GNSO and the At-Large Advisory Committee work will be updated accordingly. I've just been a tad too busy to do that. With that, let's move on to our next item on the agenda, which is our review of action items from our October 20th meeting, which is our meeting number 10. There was a single action item, and I want to thank you all for the excellent and very, very useful input that was received. It was a short order request. The action item was to give us feedback on the questions that we were and the reporting that we were going to be doing in Hyderabad. That last minute set of interactions on the list and on the Google Doc were very valuable. And I know the document originally penned by Charles and I was far better for your input. So thank you one and all. And our only action item from that meeting is completed. With that, I am going to take a much needed sip of my coffee and hand over to Steve Del Bianco, who's going to do a brief recap on the Hyderabad meeting. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Cheryl. It's Steve Del Bianco. Cheryl and I both took turns giving an update to the CCWG plenary when we met on the day before Hyderabad began. And I'll give you four quick updates on four areas. One is mutual accountability roundtable, the IRP, the notion of effectiveness and the structural reviews, and then finally the questions we distributed to all of the SO and ACs. I can assess that the walking through what we have on our multi-track work plan, the mutual accountability roundtable continues to generate fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the minds of many, not only within our own group, but within a larger group, if it implies that an AC or SO is actually accountable to all of the other ACs and SOs. There's widespread acceptance that an SO and AC is accountable to the members that it serves in its bylaws. There's even a belief that ACs and SOs answer to the global internet community when it comes to getting public comment on their proposals, and that the board considers global public interest before it approves something that, say, CCNSO or GNSO came up with. But I have found only one or two people that are comfortable holding one ACNSO accountable to another ACNSO. Now, some of this fear is really unfounded, because if you read the Mutual Accountability Roundtable paper that was submitted, and this is all part of our progress report, this was covered a long time ago, but Willie Curry, back in May of 2015, described a mutually accountability roundtable, and it's proof that the title doesn't match the concept. What Willie described, and all of this is in our document, our progress report document, what he described is really just a roundtable of discussion of best practices, what worked and didn't work, that would occur once a year amongst the ACs and SOs. There's really nothing in his original description that would hold, say, GAC accountable to GNSO, which I know is Cavus's singular fear. And I don't find a lot of appetite for extending the mutual accountability roundtable to that extent. So that presents us with a dilemma. Do we put that to bed, or do we try to examine whether once a year there should be a discussion of that nature without accountability? So that's one track. Second track is the IRP. If you recall, the bylaws charged us to look at whether the IRP was applicable to activities within an AC and NSO. I briefly surfaced this when we were together in Hyderabad, and there was very little interest, but some concern. I would say that Becky Burr, who's now serving on ICANN's board and is the rapporteur for all of the IRP implementation, felt like it was too heavyweight and too expensive of a mechanism to determine whether, let's say, GNSO was being accountable to the GNSO constituencies the bylaws created to serve. So it seems to me the sentiment is, let's explore other more lightweight, fast-moving, less expensive mechanisms, such as ombudsman and other areas. And Sebastian Bachelet discussed at that meeting in Hyderabad where he was going with ombudsman, and it may be that I had asked him whether the ombudsman could serve us in this way, and his answer was probably, but we should talk about it. So I realize we are going to probably have some help from the IRP team, David McCauley, for instance, who's taken over for Becky Burr, and I think Cheryl has noticed that for one of our upcoming meetings. But we're also going to want to consider whether, if we say no, the IRP doesn't apply, should we also go a step further to say perhaps ombudsman could apply? So that's two down. Let me give you the third item, which is the notion of the word effectiveness. This was part of track one. It got there because the SO and AC accountability in the bylaws was supposed to look at the structural reviews that are required every 3 years. These are the structural reviews that are described in detail right from the bylaws in our progress report. And all of the ACs and SOs, except for the GAC, undergo a review. And we've been through this with all of you many times, but that review looks at whether any change in structure or process is necessary to improve the effectiveness of an AC and SO. And so far, when you've done these reviews, it's the board that hires an outside consulting firm, an outside reviewer, and it's the board who tells them what the word effectiveness really means in that context, if they tell them at all. So I will be the one who's to blame for this, but I had teed up a track whereby our group could answer the question, what does effectiveness mean in SO and ACs, so that we can guide the board as it hires its consultants. I don't sense there's much of an appetite for that. So it may be that the effectiveness track also falls off. So finally, there was the question. We realized that to do what the bylaws told us we have to do, that we have a firm understanding of what accountability mechanisms each of the ACs and SOs have today, since we are supposed to review those mechanisms and make recommendations for improvements. And there's no question of whether that's in scope or not, because it's exactly what the bylaws gave us to do. I would say that on those questions, we've got a good set of questions, and they should surface enough information for us to do the review. But I fear that we may have to nudge the respective AC and SO chairs and secretariats to respond, and particularly in the GNSO, we have to drill down to seven underlying stakeholder groups and constituencies. Since each of them, I should say each of us, because I'm one of them, we have our own charter. We have our own sort of processes for challenging accountability problems that occur at our level. So I'm going to attempt to lead by example and get the business constituencies answers in by the middle of next week But I would encourage each of you, to the extent that you're working with you in your own ACs and SOs, that it's more than just sending a reminder, but we may actually have to dive in and start the work. And it's rather easy to start the work when you turn to the websites that each of you have, but there are a lot of holes, missing pieces, for procedures that are sort of customary but not documented anywhere. So, Cheryl, that's my recap of the conversation that occurred in Hyderabad, and happy to take questions.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions? You've obviously been very clear, and thank you for being very concise. It's Cheryl Langdonor again, for the record, whose caffeine-deprived brain at what is an early hour for this call for me, forgot to ask if there was anyone only on the audio channel, noting that we do take our attendance records from the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the phone line, please make yourself known now. Not hearing anyone, my oops seems to have not been.
Yeah, this is Sean.
Thank you. We'll note your attendance. Thank you very much. And you know how to make yourself heard for any intervention. Thanks for that. Anyone else? Okay. Now, thank you for that excellent recap, Steve, and I note a number of very good interactions and opportunities coming along in the chat space as well on that topic, which is actually a perfect segue to our next section, which is looking in a number of slivers of subsections at the next steps in our work plan. The first thing we're going to discuss is, in fact, what sort of methodology for review to the replies that we are expecting to come in to our survey questions, which for anyone who was not in Hyderabad or has not been watching any leadership lists within their respective AC and SOs, and I believe that most, if not all, of the mail lists for leadership teams are usually archived and public, but if not, that's something else that we might need to be looking at in the near future. We have, under the pen of the co-chairs during Hyderabad, had the questions that this group discussed and created regarding individual AC and SO accountability aspects sent out during Hyderabad. We've given a mid-December date for the reply, and as you heard from Steve and saw in the chat from Fazi, we do need to prompt and encourage the component parts of the SOs and OCs, indeed, and the SOs and OCs themselves, to reply. But now let's look at methodology. How are we going to manage the review of these questions? What are we going to do with them? How are we going to move forward on an analysis and a set of observations? Note I'm saying observations on these. And for this, I'm going to hand back to Steve Del Bianco. Over to you, Steve.
Cheryl, I quickly answered a quick email. You want me to speak to number three under methodology of reviewing replies. Is that correct?
That is correct, yep.
That's great. To the extent that we can delegate tasks within this group, we really need to identify who in this group is most familiar with ALAC. I'm pretty sure it's you. Who in this group is most familiar with the different components of GNSO? We have several on this call. CCNSO is an area where I believe we really need to generate some participation and interest. We have several GAC members. SSAC, RSSAC, that's another matter. We get spotty participation from them. Thankfully, ASO is on this call. But I think we're going to need from the people that understand those groups, not only to generate the answers, but to help interpret those answers. And it's possible that we will benchmark each of the ACs and SOs, maybe against the standards that's set by one AC and SO with respect to whether there's specific accountability mechanisms in place. I don't think it's any secret that there won't be a lot in writing. from the ACs and SOs about how they're accountable to the community that the bylaws say that they serve. So the question I have for all of you is that are we benchmarking the ACs and SOs against each other in terms of their accountability, or are we holding them to some undefined standard, some normative standard of how much accountability should be in writing, how many mechanisms should be in writing for the ACs and SOs? And until we answer that question, that's the primary methodology discussion. Is it relative comparison, or are they all being compared to some absolute standard? It'd be good to take a cue on that.
Thanks, Steve. And I see Alan in the queue. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you. I've mentioned this before. The ACs and SOs are all so very different in terms of who their potential membership is, what subset of it is that are actually members or are active participants, and the mechanisms that they would use to rectify things. So I don't think we can have an absolute set of standards and then tick off boxes, because I think different things apply. So I think we're going to have to judge each on relative merits, because I just don't believe they're close enough to each other to either use a single set of standards or to compare them to each other. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Cheryl, for the record, and I'm waiting to see if anyone else is likely to put their hand up. Alan, is that a continuing hand or an old hand? Thank you.
Cheryl, it's Steve. I'm going to completely agree with Alan on that assessment. And so it may be that there's an area called, say, eligibility to run for an officer. I'm just picking one item, eligibility to run for an officer. We would look to see, do each of the ACs and SOs have a written criteria for eligibility to run for an officer? And it may just be that we would indicate, yes, and here's what the eligibility criteria is. And for some, we might not have any at all. Nothing's in writing. So we would report that and review it, but it doesn't mean that we automatically assume that that's a large gap that needs to be filled. Because as Alan just indicated, for some ACs and SOs, the way they do officers may not require an eligibility criteria. It may not require term limits or anything like that. So perhaps we can be non-judgmental in our review and simply catalog the extent to which eligibility, accountability, challenge and review mechanisms, and an entire list of criteria or mechanisms are available. And we can do that without saying that there's obviously big gaps in the GNSO, and here's what they're going to need to do to close them. Now, that might fall short of what the bylaws said we are supposed to do, but we can only do what it is that fits. We cannot take a simple one-sentence bylaw mandate for us and assume that we sit in judgment of all the ACs and SOs.
Thank you very much, Steve. Cheryl, for the record, what I've heard so far is two issues need to be resolved. The proposal, sorry, it is animal hour here with the bird life getting very raucous. My apologies. Welcome to Australia for the audio channel. The suggestion that a small subgroup of our team be formed with at least one person with demonstrable expertise and knowledge from each of the SOs and ACs, at least one, can be more, coming forward to do an initial review of the material that is presented to us in response to our surveys. From that, there is a certain data capture exercise that is also required. So let's first of all put it to the group. Do you think a small subcommittee that is balanced across knowledgeable people from the ACs and the SOs should take a first run at the data we get in and then help us as the wider work team understand that data and any variabilities in it? Can I have anybody who wishes to speak to that? I'm seeing some positives in the chat. Perhaps I'll ask the opposite question. Is there anyone who doesn't think that's a good idea? Okay, I'm not seeing any objection. Therefore, I would ask in the chat, please, if you list yourselves now as someone who wishes to become a contributor, a pen holder, for the want of a better word, on that small sub-team, if you could put your names and the AC or SO you will be specifically bringing your expertise from into the chat. I saw some names mentioned earlier, but if you can do it against this time check now. So I see Olga from GAC, for example. Thank you, Olga. Let's make sure we get the rest of the names listed. Then the next thing, of course, is a methodology. Thank you, Sean. Noted that. Sean from the ALAC. Next thing is, of course, a methodology of what we do with the data that's captured. And perhaps what we should do to begin with is, as I think Steve was alluding to, find a way, probably in some form of matrix, which is just very simple yes or no data capture points. In other words, for example, are requirements and rules of procedure in existence, yes or no? Are they published, yes or no? Just based on the information that comes back to us. No discussion, no value judgments, simply a graphical representation for comparison of the data capture points. Is that a way forward that you think might be useful for this subcommittee to start working on? Quick cue on that. Anyone wishes to speak to that? Sean, did you wish to speak to that as well?
Sure. This is Sean. Can you hear me?
We can indeed. Go ahead, Sean.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. I just wanted to indicate that I'm still looking at the chat right now, so I don't know who has indicated the interest. But if there are no formal ESO member indicating interest in supporting in this, I can be available for the numbers that should be here, so to the initial review of the survey response. So what you suggesting to about the what to do with data? I think I very much agree with it as well. I think personally, I don't know how we're gonna try to, as I have a big comparison, side by side comparison. It may be subjective. We may end up providing some basis for someone to judge.
Sean. Yes. Sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback from feedback from people in the chat. Your audio is really very distorted. It's virtually inaudible. It's loud enough, but it's extremely bad line. If I can paraphrase what I believe I heard you say, is that you wish to make contributions to the work team subgroup regarding expertise from the ASO. Can you tell me yes or no for that? Not hearing anything now.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Thank you, Sean. I also heard you start going into some detail on analysis points, and I would strongly encourage you, because of the audio, to actually take that up at the first gathering with the sub-team, because it is impossible to understand. Do apologies, and perhaps you, staff, you could contact Sean and see whether he dialing out to him might give us a better audio channel. But I'll leave you and staff to sort that out. Staff could dial out to you, perhaps we might get a more stable channel. Okay, sorry about that. I don't know about anyone else, but I was finding it all nigh impossible to understand. Steve, I see your hand up.
Thank you. Steve Del Bianco. All right, I would say that two things. The first is we did get volunteers from four of our ACs and SOs, but we still need CCNSO, SSAC, and RSSAC. None of them are on the call for us to, I don't think anyone's on the call from those groups. So Thomas Rickard is one of the CCWG co-chairs. who's been assigned to work with our group. And it's one of the first things we'll want to ask Thomas to do is to help us to recruit an individual from SAC, RSAC, and CCNSO. And as far as I'm concerned, it could be the same individual that fills out the questionnaire for that ACNSO and then follows those answers into this work team to help us to understand, to interrogate and compare and contrast. So we're going to need some help in getting those three groups. I don't believe we've had any participation even from the beginning from SAC, RSAC, or CCNSO.
I'll caution you against that, Steve. I'm sorry, I can't leave CCNSO being maligned in that way. Cheryl Langdonor, for the record, of course, Giovanni from CCNSO has been a key contributor to even these survey questions. Giovanni has offered his apologies today for today's call, and I have worked with him long enough in the CCNSO, remembering I did serve on that council for many years, that we can probably propose that he at least take up the mantle for CCNSO and see if he can get some others to join if needs be. But if we can take an action item, I will take an action item from this to reach out to Giovanni to see whether he can serve in this sub-team. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. Apologies to Giovanni in absentia. I didn't realize he was CCNSO. That's fantastic. And we still need SAC and RSAC. Second observation is that when we categorize the answers we get to our questionnaire, we'll want to follow what the bylaws told us to do and put it into three categories: accountability, transparency, and participation. And what was added was the phrase to prevent capture, and that arose from the stress test that NTIA had given us. So the notion of capture can be addressed to all three: accountability, transparency, and then participation. It's that participation angle where we take a look at to what extent does an AC or SO do outreach to try to attract more participation from the target community the bylaws indicate they're to serve. So we do have some organizing principles, organizing framework by which to look at the answers that come back. And this made its way out of our questionnaire as well, but we didn't sort of lay it out in those three tracks. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Steve. It looks like if we take your action item then, in addition to the one of me reaching out to Giovanni, that we talk with Thomas to see if we can formally reach out for RSAC and SAC, and I'm sure that we should be able to do something there. For example, I know Julie Hammer is running a watching brief across all of our activities, and I'm sure I can prevail upon her to see if we can get somebody if Thomas fails. With that, can I ask, is there anyone who objects to us now going forward with this creation of a small sub-team who we then will encourage to meet in the next week or so, before, in fact, the materials have all come back in from all of the ACs and ESOs, so that they can get back to us at next week's call with a rough plan of how they will be managing this data capture exercise. And I think we should think of it as a data capture exercise. If no one is objecting to that, we'll take that as a way forward, and I'd just note on action item there that if staff can assist us in facilitation of a doesn't need to be a supported call, but it would be good to have a the ability for this group to have a call, or they may choose to do it on Skype chat, I don't mind, but they do need to have the opportunity before our next call next week so they can get some feedback to us. Thank you very much for your support on that, Christopher. I noticed that in the chat. I'd like to move us now, if I can, onto our next agenda item, which does have a reasonable allocation of time, most of which we've bitten into with our first discussion point, but it was an important discussion point, so I don't mourn the loss of time there. But the next thing I'm going to hand over to Fazi and Steve to take a relatively brief discussion and cue on the matter of one of our major tracks of work, which is the use of IRP. We need to start this discussion, and the first thing that we as rapporteurs are proposing to you as the work team is that we will invite David McCauley, who is taking over as chair from the IRP work team from Becky Burr, as Steve said, who is now serving on the ICANN board, to join us in our next meeting, or perhaps the one after that, depending on his calendar, to make sure we all have a proper, shared, mutual understanding of what the IRP is and what, therefore, we may be able to look at whether we feel it is or is not an appropriate use. So who wants to take the lead on that, Fazi or Steve?
Cheryl, it's Steve Del Bianco.
I could just add a couple.
Okay, Steve, how about we go for Fazi? No, Fazi.
I cannot hear you.
Go ahead, Fazi.
All right. So I just wanted to raise a couple of points about IRP. I looked what has been done in Workstream 1 and why they came up with this suggestion of looking at IRP in Workstream 2. And the rationale behind it, which I have also put it in the document, was that this group should look into this because the question of who watches the watchers is important, but also they want to avoid an infinite loop, which means that they wanted us to look at this IRP as some kind of a mechanism that can put an end to a kind of like a conflict and that it can hold S1ACs accountable. And I also have put in the relevant sections of the bylaws on IRP, which is about the scope of IRP and which disputes can be filed. Just for your information, we can just take it off after David talks to us. That's about it. Thank you.
Steve?
Cheryl, Steve Del Bianco. The bylaws require us to do the following, to, quote, assess whether the IRP would also be applicable to SO and AC activities. And therefore, if we bring David McCauley or someone in to present, we wouldn't want them to present the way the IRP is used to challenge ICANN's actions and inactions, but rather to directly present to us whether there are aspects of the IRP that fit or don't fit to activities within an AC and an SO. And secondarily, I believe that David McCauley, if we give him a few days of lead time, we can brief him so that his presentation is on point as opposed to a broad tutorial on the way IRP is to be used, because that won't be relevant to us. I also recommend that we invite the new ombudsman to join the very same call with an intent to be able to react to things that come up. So, for instance, if David McCauley presents a way an IRP could be used for a potential participant to challenge the business constituency because we said they were not eligible to run for office, then the ombudsman may weigh in to say, well, you don't need an IRP to do that. The ombudsman can respond to that complaint, and here's what we would do. So that would be an ability to compare and contrast when an IRP might not be the right tool to come up with accountability, transparency, and participation challenges within an AC or an SO. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. I open the floor for any discussion on that. I see Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I'd like to understand what it means to have the IRP apply in this case. The IRP right now can make judgments on whether ICANN has violated its bylaws. I think what we're talking about here is to increase the scope of the IRP to use the charters or other rules of procedure or whatever of ACs, SOs, constituency stakeholder groups to see whether they have violated their rules or not applied them consistently. Is that what we're talking about? Because otherwise I'm not quite sure how the IRP can rule.
Alan, if I could reply, I pasted into the chat what the bylaw have asked us to do. They say to assess whether the IRP would also be applicable to SO and AC activities. That's not very clear, but the way in which you just described it is pretty much what I assumed is meant. And so the entity who would bring an IRP would be, let's say, a business constituency member who felt that a decision made by the business constituency was in violation of the BC's charter, or it wasn't transparent, BC's not being accountable, or we excluded them from participation in a debate, or we excluded them from the ability to run for office. So it's my guess, like you, that it's a mechanism by which an entity, like an AC, an SO, or a stakeholder group or constituency, could be challenged on its decisions or lack of action.
Yeah,
you know,
and my,
I think that means we agree.
Yeah, my follow-on question is there an intermediate step? I believe, for instance, for the ALAC, and I can't speak to the other advisory committees, but I believe there are clauses in the current bylaws which says the board can intervene or certain things can be appealed to the board. You know, certainly the admission of an ALS as a member or certification or decertification of an ALS within at large is something that is appealable to the board. So we're almost adding either a replacement step for that or an additional step for that afterwards. So I think we're going to need a real lot of clarity of what we're talking about before we can decide if we want it or not. Thank you.
Alan, it's Steve Del Bianco. I do think that that probably falls to us. And before we come up with what our preference is in interpreting that, we probably ought to dive into the CCWG final report and to see if there was any other detail offered. Farzi and I did as good a job as we could scraping from the report and bylaws everything that was relevant to us, but it's possible we miss one paragraph of explanation in the report that everyone had confirmed that might have given us some clarity. I suspect, however,
or it may not have been thought through properly.
That's Alan, let me agree with you. I believe it'll probably fall to us to figure this out.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. I see Christopher Wilkinson. Over to you, Christopher.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Very quickly, this is Christopher Wilkinson for the record. Point one, the jurisdiction subgroup is also addressing IRP questions. My personal view is that it is essential to dissociate the jurisdiction for IRP from the jurisdiction of ICANN, without wishing to join the debate about ICANN's jurisdiction. It's quite clear to me that U.S. jurisdiction for all IRPs is not a satisfactory solution. Part two, I recently read cover to cover an enormous IRP judgment of which the total costs, irrespective of who finished up paying for the total costs, the total costs were $5 million. Now that won't do at all. In the interest of transparency and participation, if it is decided that IRP should apply to the decisions of ACs and SOs, and for present purposes I just leave that question open because it's obviously something that our subgroup is going to have to address, it is quite clear that any arrangement that results in costs on that scale essentially makes the proposal unusable for a wide range of potential users of IRP. So either decisions must be questioned through a different channel, a different arrangement, for example, the Ombudsman, or it must be very, very, very clear that IRP can be conducted under any jurisdiction that is relevant for the case in point, and certainly that costs to private individuals or to not-for-profit entities or even to the ACs and SOs themselves, the costs must be contained and very reasonable. The idea of a $5 million bill. No.
Thank you, Christopher. Cheryl, for the record, it sounded somewhat like your microphone may have been very loud. There was an awful lot of distortion, and I'm unsure that everyone, in fact, I can tell by the chat, as you can, that a number of people had difficulty understanding exactly what you were saying. However, as I understood it, I believe, and I'd like you to just do a synopsis in the chat if you don't mind, you were raising two particular issues which go to a substantive discussion that we will undoubtedly have later as well, and that was that of jurisdiction and cost. They're questions, of course, that we can delve into in greater detail, but if you could just do us a synopsis into the chat, please, and then we'll make sure we pick up those threads when we have our substantive discussion on this matter. Is there anyone else who wishes to go on the queue on this topic? If not, I would like to move us on to our next thread, which is, in fact, how we're going to look at the preparation of our next report to the CCWG. And for this, if it's possible, I don't know if staff have it, but if we do have the current timeline for Track 1 and Track 2 work that I would strongly suggest we need to look at to remind ourselves of where we are and where we should be. If that can be displayed, if not, looks like it is. Excellent. And I just want to take a small amount of time now, and I'm going to hand over to Fazi and Steve, to look at how we may go towards preparing a report that we do owe the CCWG in short order. Obviously not a final report, but an advancement on our update in Hyderabad, even though it can be based upon it. Those of you who are in the Adobe Connect room will see that we are already bumping up against timeline issues, and there might be several ways for us to deal with that, which I'm sure Fazi and Steve can explore. But one thing that the rapporteurs do want to propose to you as a group is that this is another situation where it would be, we believe, wise for a small sub-team of our group to gather and start framing the how the next report, making some high-level notes, etc. So a small drafting team should be formed on this, and if those of you who are interested in contributing to that drafting team would note that in the chat, we'll come back to that a little later on in this discussion. Who's going to lead off on this, Fazi or Steve?
Cheryl, hey, it's Steve DelBianco. The report that we prepared was really a summary, the travelogue of where we have been. And if we can, and for instance, if we were to discard the track called effectiveness, that we could pull that out and put it to the appendix as something we looked at and discarded. So rearranging our report might be the first step we do. And rearrange it in such a way that we completely narrow the focus of Mutual Accountability Roundtable so that, unlike its title, it matches the very limited exchange of ideas that it was originally written up to be. So if it's possible that Fazi and I could rearrange the report we have without adding anything new to it in an effort to see how much work remains to be done at actually getting a report completed. And I don't mean to volunteer Fazi for that in advance. Fazi?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, I think we can do that. So, I'm not very sure about the timeline here. What we are supposed to do until, what are we supposed to do beginning of December?
Farzi, according to this timeline, the track two groups in work stream two, the track two groups of which we were one, we would need to actually produce in early December a report that could be presented to the rest of our CCWG plenary for the purpose of a first reading and perhaps even a second reading, so that the plenary would say, yes, this is ready to put out for public comment. And staff, by the end of December, would add all of the other background necessary so that public comment could occur. So I think that's what's implied by the timeline in front of you, the work stream one, work stream two timeline. But I'll confess that I don't see how we could meet the track two timeline given where we are today, and that I would ask us all to consider whether we ought to move to track one, which adds significantly more time to get this finished.
Thank you, Steve. And I must say, Farzi and I have also independently suggested to each other that a move to track one would be a smart way forward. Cheryl Langdon, for the record, I should have said that first of all. Can I then put that to the assembly here today? Is a way forward for our timeline management to formally request that our topic be shifted to a track one timeline. Is there anyone who objects to us proposing that our topic shift to a track one timeline as shown in front of you on the Adobe Connect room? Not hearing any objections and not seeing any objections, that will make a great deal of difference to the pressure we have upon ourselves, and of course that includes other commitments such as we were noting in the chat, activities at the Internet Governance Forum in Mexico, and indeed other national and regional initiatives that are running all the time as well. So that doesn't mean that we shouldn't also now consider, so there's an AI for shift track one. We should also now consider the collection of names who would like to offer themselves to be part of the small drafting team. Farzi, I would suggest you were voluntold by Steve to be part of this. Perhaps you'd like to take the lead on this one, and the first thing would be a reorganising and restructuring of our initial draft report. Caboose, I notice you are not connected. I'm certain that staff also know you are not connected and that they will be doing their very best to dial out to you. If staff can double check on that, please. So if you'd like to be part of this drafting team now, please put your name in the chat, noting that. And obviously we will make another call, for people on the list to do so as well. But I think, unless anyone objects, we'll ask Farzi to lead this particular part of the work. Okay, I'll just leave the chat to run and come back to it. Yes, Caboose, we hear you are not connected, and staff undoubtedly will be working to get you connected. But we can't do anything about that, only staff can. Unless you have another ability to dial in. Okay, looks like we have a second small sub-team to be created then, and I would like now to move us, if I may, to our very next item, and that is the one that Steve did start to talk about early on in his review from Hyderabad, and that is when and how to approach the matter of our mandate to discuss a mutual accountability framework, etc. I'm going to try, I'm taking the lead on this one, and I'm going to try and gain us back some of our time so we have a little bit more time for the rest. And I suspect that might have been Caboose joining us. If it is, welcome to the audio back again, Caboose. With moving to track one, we have a small luxury of a little longer time. So we are not discussing the topic, we are discussing how and when we will approach the topic. Can I suggest that on this matter, which we know is hotly contested and has a lot of divided and deeply held views, can I suggest that we re-establish a timeline within the constraints of now track one for work stream two timelines, and that we position in a clear point in time early in 2017 a dedicated conversation, in other words, a single purpose call to explore this particular track of our work. Prior to that, I would like to suggest we form some sort of brief opinion survey, whether this is a doodle poll or a survey monkey or whatever, and we distribute it to all of the members and participants on our work team. So rather than just hear one or two voices, we give the opportunity between now and that discussion point in early 2017 for everyone, hopefully over the Christmas break and holiday season, remembering that Asia Pacific has a number of very important ritual and holiday times in the January and early February period. So over that period of time, where each and every one of our members and participants can have a think and give us some feedback on this matter. Is that a way forward that you would be all comfortable with? That's the question I'm putting to the table. Can we pick a early 2017 now point in time where we have a single purpose call and discussion on this track of work? And secondly, that we poll all of our members and participants in advance of that. I see Caboose and then Steve. Please limit yourself to the questions posed. Over to you, Caboose.
Excuse me. Do you hear me, please?
We hear you perfectly well. Go ahead.
Yes. I think the announcement of the time is misleading. It is 900... GMT or UTC, which is 2000 Central European. But sometimes in the announcement says 2000 to 2100. That means in 1 hour difference. I did not know that you have started for 50 minutes ago, because it is clear. Please put one single time, UTC, and for everybody, UTC is clear. But do not announce 20 to 21. 20 to 21, perhaps it means UTC 20 to UTC 21 means 22 to 23 Central European. One time announcement. Please kindly, it is misleading. This is question one, and I request you kindly to consider. Second, why are you entering into the business of CCWG relating to track one and track two? This is a CCWG decision to decide about all of these, whether we should this and do not, unless you have been given a task by the CCWG to start with this issue to facilitate their work. I am just asking, I'm not opposing. Please tell me why this little group discuss the track one and track two, which dealing for issues outside the group. Just explain why and who has given us this mission. Thank you.
Okay, before I go to Steve, who hopefully will have an input on the question raised, this is Cheryl for the record. Our discussion regarding the timeline on track one and track two is only limited, Caboose, to our work and our ability to meet the timeline. At the moment, when we started our work, SOAC accountability, was allocated to a track 2 timeline as shown on the screen. The times and deadlines in that timeline are not going to be reached because of how far we've progressed in our work. So the group has just proposed that we request that we are shifted our topic and only our topic to the track 1 timeline, which allows us to work longer and later in the program. That is the only thing that has anything to do with timelines. Regarding UTC and European time, I'm sure staff noted your comments. I only ever work in UTC, and I would strongly encourage others to do so, so these sorts of confusions do not occur. All I can say is I do apologise, but please, everybody, try and use the UTC times and UTC times only, both in your own scheduling and in the calendar. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Cheryl. I believe the question we're supposed to respond to was your proposal of a sub-team meeting to discuss how to proceed on mutual accountability framework. Do I have that right?
No, Steve, you don't. If I can be clearer, what I was suggesting is we need to decide when and how we deal with that piece of work. My when suggestion was we find and advertise a date in early 2017 that will work for us to have a single purpose call to start a detailed discussion on this topic. Prior to that, Steve, I suggested we poll all of our members and participants to get their opinions on the matter, and that can be shared in advance of that call. Back to you, Steve.
Thank you. Then I'd like to register a somewhat different approach. It's my belief that people are simply confused about Mutual Accountability Roundtable because the title implied something that the author never did. And I believe that if we were to write up a very limited scope of mutual accountability that matches what Willie Curry described, where people just share best practices once a year, and I put it in the chat, to share what worked and what didn't, and that's all. There is no mandate of GNSO holding GAC accountable or vice versa. There is no mandate to prescribe changes. And if we wrote it up that way in the space of about 2 paragraphs, then we can put it out for first reading. Someone's talking over us here. We could put it out for first reading, Cheryl, and if in fact this group embraced that limited scope, original intent, we'll have solved this as opposed to doing the same amount of communication to figure out how to have a separate group get together and end up coming to the same conclusion. So it's just me being an engineer here and trying to say, I think we know what we want. We just have to write it up differently and avoid all of the confusion that was generated when people read into this that it was about accountability as opposed to sharing of best practices. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Does anyone have an issue with a fresh write-up of the matters? I'll come back to you, Caboose, don't worry. The proposal from Steve that we have a fresh write-up, and I would suggest that even in today's chat there's been some excellent other opportunities to look at this general topic that could perhaps be included in that, Steve. I'm assuming you'd take that as a friendly amendment. Is there any objections to that? Caboose, I'm assuming that that is a fresh hand, not an objection, and as I said, I will come back to you on this. In which case, it may be that that will be an interim point. I would still very much like to get the whole of our work team's input on that fresh approach, and not just a small subset of us that turn up to the meetings. Okay, Steve, I'm going to come back to you before I go to Caboose. Over to you, Steve.
Thank, Thank you very much, Cheryl. I appreciate that, and the friendly amendment accepted. And I'm just trying to cut to the quick in the sense of what we, if we think we need what we know. And to Cavusa's question, and perhaps this will relieve him of needing to go into this, I put into the chat, Cavusa, I put in the exact text that Willie Curry used to describe Mutual Accountability Roundtable. And you'll see from his text, which is in quotations, that there's really nothing in there about accountability. It's about sharing best practices of how each of us are running our ACs and SOs in terms of accountability, transparency, and participation. And there's nothing wrong with conversations like that. And if we write it up that way, and what I anticipate is something very close to what Willie wrote up, and that would be in the first draft of this revised document that Farzi and I and others would work on. Thank you.
Okay, Steve, so let me see if I can be clear for everyone's understanding. You're proposing that in the already agreed upon reporting sub-team, that the rewrite you're all doing on the existing preliminary report, that a specific section is dedicated to a rewrite, a refresh of the concepts that we can discuss, and that should include some of the additional concepts based perhaps on the bilaterals that Jorge was mentioning, etc. And that's as far as it goes for now. Is that correct?
Yes, Cheryl, that was what I was thinking.
Okay. Is there anyone who objects? And Cavusa, I'm coming to you next, so if you have an objection to that way forward, then I'm sure you'll raise it then. Is there anyone who objects to that as a way forward now, noting that we do still need to come back to this matter at some later point in time? If so, you could make yourself known by putting it in the chat, perhaps. Now, Cavusa, I noticed you asked for something to be put, a proposal in writing. Hopefully I articulated the proposal suitably then, but I will ask Steve to write it up now again in the chat. Back to you, Cavusa.
Yes, first, thank you very much, indicating one single timeline for the meeting, but not two. 1900 and 2000 is misleading, so next time I would like to be on time. So if it is 1900 UTC, I know what can I do, at what time I have to come to the meeting. Second, I understood that. You said that you want to extend the timeline of your group because you are of the view that you may not finish within the initial timeline. No problem. Explain that, how much extension you want and what are the reasons and what are the issues before you that you cannot finish. I believe that you are waiting to receive answer from the charting organizations. I don't know whether you have sent a message to them or not. Yak, during the last meeting, says that they have not received anything from the CCWG. So they have to reply you. You have to wait 1 month to send the reply to you. Then you analyze that, and based on the reply, you organize your next meeting. However, in the meantime, you might have other subjects. I don't know what other subjects you want to discuss. Therefore, I suggest that your timeline for extension is good to discuss, but put it in a written, how much time extension you want, two, what are the reasons, and three, in the meantime, between receiving answer from the charter organization to your questionnaire, if and only if they have been sent, then what
okay.
subject
thank you,
you want to discuss. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Cavusa. In fact, we're not asking for any particular extensions. We are shifting. There is two choices of timeline. We are simply going to shift from our Track 2 existing timeline to the already established Track 1 timeline. So we don't need to justify it. We just need to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are 4 minutes after the top of the hour and we are not completely through our agenda. So what I will do now is put a line across the agenda now, and we will start at next week's meeting with looking at the next section. We will have an update from our action items at next week's meeting.
I will send a copy of our action items to the list, and that will include a call for anyone else on the list to join the sub-teams that we've established today. But our agenda from next week's call will include matters from the basic foundations of the Enhanced Accountability, SOAC Accountability Work Plan. Apologies for running longer, but we did have a perhaps over-enthusiastic number of things to deal in a short amount of time. If there's no other urgent, any other business, I would note that our next call will in fact be at a different day and a different time. Staff, if you could just put into the chat, and obviously we will send out to the list, that due to the Thanksgiving holiday of the Americas next week, we cannot meet on our normal Thursday. So we are going to be moving only for next week's call to a Wednesday call, and that will be at Wednesday 0500 UTC. Caboose, can you make a note of that? The call next week is Wednesday 0500 UTC. With that, thank you one and all, and thank you for the extra 6 minutes of your lives taken on these matters. Bye for now. Wrap the call up. Thank you, sir.